Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is Magnificent Seven coming up a little bit later on. I watched yesterday, Leroy, I watched Be Water. I got a screener for the Bruce Lee documentary.
Uh-huh. How was it?
Uneven. I thought kind of a boring beginning to it, to be honest with you. Had a good meat. It was kind of like a sandwich. Had some bread and then had some good meat to it. And then it got back to the, but it got to the bread real quick. Not enough slices of meat, if you ask me. It was kind of, it was one of those things where, you know, Bruce Lee dies at this really early age, spoiler alert. So you're kind of like wondering, well, he's going through all these struggles of trying to break through in Hollywood and, just kind of gone immediately. As soon as he makes it, he dies. Like Enter the Dragon, right. He never even got to see it released.
Right.
But I would have liked more, you know, because I'm the martial arts geek, and they tried to, you know, the most place I've seen this thing pitched is during UFC stuff. And it was much more a story of Bruce Lee wanting to be an actor than a martial artist. You know,
so, like it's almost like, why is it even on ESPN?
No, I get why it's on ESPN. I get it. But, you know, there is a tie-in. But, there was some cool stuff. Like, he was friends with Kareem. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was in one of his movies. And so you got to see old footage of him and Kareem sparring and stuff like that. But, you know, it's just you didn't really get to learn about what his martial arts background was, if it was legit. And you know what I'm not liking about these documentaries with the 30 for 30? They all feel like they got so much of the subject's control of it. You're not getting enough of like the struggles or the bad side. Like there was just a whimsical mention. Oh, Bruce Lee. Kind of a bleep hole sometimes on set. I was like, cool, let's dive into that. And then they just kind of moved on. I was like, all right. It was interesting. Like Bruce Lee didn't want to take any, he didn't want any stereotypical Asian roles that he felt like, everything was so stereotypical back in the day in Hollywood. So there's a lot of that talk. You get to learn that he got really screwed on his pay because he wasn't a white guy. There were some tie-ins to what's going on right now. This was kind of a timely doc, but there was a lot of, you know, the other thing is with documentaries, I don't like the style where the people getting interviewed, you don't see them. I like seeing the faces. I like seeing them go to the chair and interview the people. The entire movie, it's voiceover interviews. Who's talking now?
Right.
I give it like a six.
You know what I take from a lot of these things when you talk about the 60s and 70s? Not about all these other guys. You know, like when they do all these stories of people back in those days. Think about how involved and connected Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you talk issue or topic in the 60s and 70s, if you talk about any star in the 60s or 70s, guess who always makes an appearance? Kareem.
Yep.
In the OJ documentary. When they were talking about OJ in the 60s and 70s, guess who they were talking about? Kareem and the things that he was doing in the community. So yeah,
Kareem was like the only like famous athlete martial artist. They didn't have Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris was in the documentary. I was expecting some Chuck Norris. No Chuck Norris. You know, he's in the Way of the Dragon. They show the fight scene where Bruce Lee kicks his ass. Even though, you know, I feel like Chuck Norris was taking it easy on him. Like, let's be honest. If it was a real fight.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm just saying.
Need a voiceover from Leroy.
I'm telling you. No chance. Y'all can start that. Y'all know what's up. I don't even need to say nothing.
Let's get the headlines. What do you got, Robbie?
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Which is brought to you by the Orion Fuels Downstairs Convenience Stores. Truly steps beyond convenient. So last headlines, we talked about how Drew Brees all good now with his apology. Well, also Marvin Wilson. Apparently he's all good with Florida State football now. He had that meeting. Everything's good. Back to normal.
You got that briefcase?
What are you doing? Nothing. What are you doing?
No, I'm sure it's cool, baby.
Hey, why? Here, let's just throw this out there. Okay? If everybody thinks this is happening, right? Just in college sports whatsoever. Basketball kind of got caught up a little bit. You know, with the shoe deals and stuff like that, people going to jail, people getting caught. Right. Why is everybody so shocked?
Well, I don't know. I'm just
like,
saying,
you know what I mean? Like, this thing was Zion.
This is a different kind of briefcase. This is an apology briefcase. Be like, listen, we need to just.
Hey, it's still a briefcase. Man, I wish I was better at sports.
Listen, Marvin.
I got no briefcases.
Marvin, I'm gonna take. Here's what I need. I just need you to say, you know, I'm gonna say I'm proud of you, but I'm gonna say that I still sent out this generic text to everybody, and some replied, but not all. But I'm gonna say I'm proud of you. All you need to do is just, you know, take the briefcase, and you know, Marvin's good.
Leroy, right. SMU was handing out briefcases at that time. You could have gone and played at SMU. They had Dickerson and James.
They got when I went. By the time I was going to college, they had gotten a death penalty.
Damn.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I tell you what, you want to talk about some real soldiers? Nobody playing on that team said nothing.
Well, It was that one linebacker who they recruited. Then got
who
kicked
didn't
off.
Didn't play. Right.
Yeah. And then
it's always the guy who sucks, who rats. I mean, Craig James, I forgot the damn Hall of Famer.
Well, Dickerson.
Eric Dickerson, right? Nothing. They won't even go down that path. You can't even hint, drop any, nothing.
They'll still defend it to this day. They won't say anything.
Nope. That's right. That's how you do it. That's how people get caught. If everybody just went on about their business, right, it would have been cool. Nope.
Texter writes in, hey, Leroy, I have a message from Chuck Norris himself to you. He says to calm down.
Else what? else what, representative of Chuck Norris? What you going to do? Man, we got representation. Chuck Norris is being represented in South Florida.
Chuck. Whoopsh. What else you got, Robbie?
All right, really? So I'm putting this headline off.
I don't even think he can make that noise at 80.
I love that. That was the one thing I did like about the documentary was all the kung fu noises. I love when the samurai sword goes straight up in the air and then falls right through the dude's... Did you watch any of these kung fu movies back in the day, by the way?
What? Enter the Dragon, like, was one of those movies where you watch 1,000 times.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking of buying it because it's like I could get it on demand for like $3.
Here, let me explain something to you. Now, I don't know if this was indicative of the times, but growing up, when Bruce Lee came, you know, Bruce Lee came out, everybody in the hood had some nunchucks, right? Had them just hanging up somewhere in your house.
I got them in my garage right now.
Yep. You got the real ones or the fake ones?
I got the real ones, baby.
Do you even know how to use them?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, you don't. Come on. Let's not do this. Every time you say, yeah, come on, you try to run up a wall and then UD making fun of you.
That's crazy.
Your arms are too short.
No, I think that makes it work better.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Why would long arms be an advantage with nunchucks?
Huh?
Why would long arms be an advantage with nunchucks? Makes no sense.
Because you'd have to shorten a chain in the middle.
The chain's always short.
When it goes behind your back, your arms are too short to get it.
I could go under the arms.
Oh my goodness, please stop. By the way.
Yeah.
I would just tell you like this. When I do this radio show, I like to have fun. I try to be serious at times.
Sure,
try to give some honest opinions. You know, just being me.
Yep.
The way you hijacked my credibility with that damn whale yesterday. It's the worst.
What credibility do you need
that a whale going across the screen singing is not going to kill for me?
What's wrong with that?
You know what I feel like? I feel like when Al Pacino stopped making serious movies and then you start making the silly movies.
Hold on.
That's where I am in my career.
This is not a shot anyway, because I love the guy. But when you were doing the show with Eric, you said Eric was a much more serious sports talk.
No. That was like.
Well, so what do you need? You need some kind of a balance from shenanigans and serious. You want like Jim Rome with a twist?
I would just rather not being taken hijacked, but having a moment hijacked by a whale singing across the screen. But then I started thinking, I did go to the AAA and help you get in your kangaroo costume.
Yep. You did have nipple clamps on.
I did go down to a bar and watch you eat a street bird.
Yep.
Right?
Great memories.
Even though I tried to stay off on the side, I'm like, no. Go ahead.
You did have to do the show with lobster claws that one time.
And my nipples clamped.
Yep.
McRoberts.
And I had to do the McBob.
Oh, man. If you guys haven't seen it yet, go to Leroy's Instagram page, at LeroyHorde_BML. His Throwback Thursday yesterday was him doing the McBob, which was recreating Josh McRoberts' intro video where he had the Jesus hair. It's the best thing. It's the best thing on the internet. And that's including pornography.
Somebody sent me a picture and said, I look like Wesley Snipes in the... What was that movie? The Fugitive.
Oh, man.
Look, I'm telling you, man. The Last Dragon was required watching in my house growing up. I'm telling you. Bruce Lee was on the TV all the time. And then you know, once you see a Bruce Lee movie, then you got to go get weapons. Right? So you either use a broomstick, you use it something to go ahead on
it. It sucks that he didn't get to he didn't really get a run of enjoying his fame.
He didn't get to do the Jackie Chan. He would have been the first Jackie Chan. Except Jackie Chan is more of a, like, he doesn't do too many serious movies, does he? They were all got a bit of humor in them.
Rumble in the Bronx.
Come on, dude. But you understand what I'm saying?
All the Rush Hours.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, has Chris Tucker done any other movies? I haven't. I only know him from Rush Hour.
Didn't you say
what
like
about
he
Friday? He did the first Friday.
Yeah, he did the first one. Yeah, that's right.
He said he's a different guy. He didn't want to do that kind of those kind of movies, so that's why he didn't do the other Fridays.
I remember when he came to the Hard Rock, he kept telling me like he got super into church or something like that. Like he doesn't do that stuff anymore.
I mean, yeah, it was cool, but that's where we found Day Day. It was in Mike Epps, so. I mean,
what else
it's
you got,
cool.
Robbie?
Right, so I've been holding up on this headline, but the NBA apparently have announced their schedule. They're supposed to be back. I'm saying supposed to be because you never know in this year. They're supposed to be back July 31st. 22 teams are coming back. You know, they're going to have the – I mean, if the ninth seed was in four games of the eighth seed, there's a play-in game, and it's going to be eight, everyone's going to have eight regular season games, and then, boom, playoffs all the way till October. And subsequently, the draft and free agency got moved, and the draft got moved.
You know what? One twist that one change that I would make to this: conference finals and NBA finals to be held in the team's home floor.
Well, maybe by then they might be able to do that.
Yeah, it's not out of the question, I don't think.
You see what I mean? Like I would just you know, unless they're just trying to get it in. You know, and it's easier to get it in if they're all in one place. But I would definitely consider conference championship and finals doing those, you know, at your home floor.
Is that one of those things? I wonder if that – do you think they could just pull a move like that? Or do you think the players would have to – the teams would have to agree to it? Because
– I was thinking about that, and I was like, well, why wouldn't a team want to
Well, because I would say, like, for example, let's say the Heat. Let's say the Heat are playing the Lakers in the finals, right?
Right.
If you're the Heat, would you rather play in Orlando, or would you rather have to go across the country and play? Are you saying, like,
I think you would rather play in Miami.
Are you saying you want the finals split up, or all the games have to go on the best team's home floor?
No. Split up. Play as normal.
Okay.
As normal.
No. If that's the case, then yeah, I think people could agree to that. Because if you're just saying, oh no, one team gets home court advantage, I don't think the other teams would go for that. I think they'd
right, but no, neutral. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that, you know, once you get to, it'll kind of have like a Final Four, like some similar to that. But you know, but you're gonna play in your home floor, so that says, means that way the team with the best record or the higher seed will have some type of advantage.
Somebody says, do you remember Kung Fu Sundays?
Yes. Yes. I mean, it was growing up, there was all the James Bond movies, right? The Kung Fu movies. But you only watched if Bruce Lee was in it. Like, I wasn't, like, Chuck Norris had some stuff out. There was another couple of guys. But Bruce Lee movies. He didn't have a lot of them. So, you know, it was repeats.
When we come back, some thoughts on where the Dolphins ranked after this offseason. One national place has them a little higher than I think some might expect. We'll get to that next. This goes out to all the women in the world, especially her. You know, it don't even matter your age. Don't even matter.
So, Robbie.
Yep.
You pulled up that old school. What's up with that? You just random? You hit random on the playlist?
Oh, yep. An old random on the playlist.
Yeah.
Random.
Yeah, yep. I've been off my touch with, you know, with the music intros lately. I've noticed. The cheese has kind of died down.
The last, I would say this. Like, if you played music to reflect the mood of the country, it would be way too somber.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, but other than that, man, yesterday I was going to ride my bike, right? So I got ready. And what I do is the last couple of segments, I go get everything ready so I can just put on my stuff and then get on the bike. Because, you know, once it gets around 12, 1 o'clock, the weather looks a little tornadic. So soon as I start putting my stuff on, I look outside. The wind is blowing sideways. Now, as most of you know, I'm not that aerodynamic. And once I get into the wind, you have to put it on easy gear. And it's like you're not even moving. It's like you're balancing the bike. So I say no go. So I'm looking outside now. It looks peaceful, calm, sunny, but it's still got like 3 more hours. Mm. So I hope it holds up because I'm going to get a bike ride in today.
So Peter King, Leroy, he has come out with
another list.
His post off-season power rankings. Huh? Whoa. Yeah, you're into that, huh?
No. Yeah. No.
The Miami Dolphins check in. Just where I suspected, top 20. Number 19. Peter King writes, the most overused Peter King stat of the offseason, 2019 records, including playoffs, since Halloween. Miami 5-4, New England 4-5. And then the Dolphins added an electric quarterback, half of the Patriots roster, reinforcements for the offensive line. I look at the two coordinators Flores let go as a mixture of suspicion and praise. Chad O'Shea's offense may or may not have been too encyclopedic. Take it easy there, Peter King. Peter Graham may or may not have meshed with Flores' defensive philosophy totally, but I like the coach who has the guts to open himself up for criticism for having two new coordinators in year two. As for who plays quarterback around the draft, I keep hearing that the perfect place for Tua Tagovailoa is Miami because he can redshirt this year, get his ankles and hip all perfect for 2021. So Tua behind Fitzpatrick is the perfect scenario. It could be. But not just because the Dolphins drafted him to take it for a rehab season. If we learn one thing from watching Flores last year, when half of his roster got traded to get in position for a pick for the first round, he's not coaching for next year. He could have played Rosen and likely won less and been in the derby for Joe Burrow, but Flores showed that last year's he coaches for this week, this minute, and if Tagovailoa is better in August, assuming their typical August is in the NFL, he'll play over Fitzpatrick. If he's not better, he won't.
Bold.
All right.
Peter King.
So I will say this. I've said since before the draft, right after the season. Okay. And I said it before last season. The one thing you would think that Brian Flores is going to do without a doubt or a fact is improve the defense. Right?
You would hope.
Before Flores got there, they were like 30th and 31st in defense. If they move up 10 spots, which would be considered a little bit below average, how much better would the team have been? So I look at it from the standpoint of what's going to help the offense and give them the ability to do a lot of different things is the fact that their defense, you're going to be able to rely on that defense to some extent, and they're going to get better. So I look at it from the defensive perspective and not necessarily the offensive perspective, because you know they're the group to me that's going to make the biggest or the more consistent jump. The offense is going to improve, but I think defensively, that's where you're going to make your best. That's what's going to give you your best chance to win.
I would hope so too. I mean, look, they dealt Flores a tough hand with the defense last year. They're literally taking guys off the scrap heap every like week. They're just patching it together, and so I would hope that this year, with them putting all the money that they did. That he's just got a lot more to work with than he did last year, because last year was a disaster.
Right. And so from that standpoint, offensively, it might take him a minute to gel. A lot of moving parts on offense. A lot of moving parts. And if you can get some consistency, you got a new offensive coordinator. So when you think of how many things have to go right for an offense to be successful versus a defense, I'm always going to look for the defense as to how a team can improve and be better sooner. So I do think that's about right. I would say, you know, when you put somebody, they probably went from 31st to 19th.
Yeah.
Without playing the game.
He's got him right where I want him. He's got it also under the guise that Tua is going to be the starting quarterback. That's why I say Tua is a top 20 quarterback and that this Chris Sims list is stupid.
Stop, Peter King's
right in line with me. So, you know, when you have the respect of Peter King on your side, I feel like what I've been saying.
You
is
say Tua is the reason why they're going to be 19th? That's why he has him there?
That's what he said, basically.
No.
That's kind of what he said, though.
No.
He said if Tua's better, that Flores is going to coach for today, and that means going with Tua Tagovailoa.
The way I took that is, it's this way, which I love the way you get things.
What?
He's saying they're going to be there based on what they did on their defense and how they improved defensively. That's why he has them 19th. If Tua plays, you know that Flores is going to try to win now, but it's also going to give them an opportunity to move higher on that list. But as of right now, okay, he has them at 19. That's what I took out of that.
Yeah, but what I take out of that is that's where the bottom is with Tua Tagovailoa, is that you have him at the bottom, top 20, with the chance to skyrocket all the way up. Like Ninkovic said, he'd only take Mahomes over Tua Tagovailoa.
Who said that?
Ninkovic. Remember that? Didn't you say that, Robbie?
No.
Yeah, he said that on Get Up.
Ninkovic. Champion.
He straight up was asked. He said, you know, Tua is the only other quarterback other than Mahomes I would want on the team.
How about that?
On this team. Well, you know why?
Not on this team. He just said in general. Like, if he's having a quarterback draft, he's like, it's like.
If he had his pick of the litter, if he could go to the buffet, he would go to Mahomes first. But if they were out of Mahomes, he'd go and go to the Tua section, put it up on his plate.
So, hold on. So he would walk past the Aaron Rodgers section.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers is like upper 30s.
Been out for a while, you know. It's been out for a while.
He walked by the Tom Brady section.
Walked by it.
Well, this isn't just for 1 year.
The Jared Goff section.
Oh,
the Carson Wentz section.
Jared Goff section is so bland.
Really? Oh, man.
Speaking of bland, did you see Chris Sims, our boy? You want the next guy on his list? I knew you did.
He released some more names?
Yeah, only one for some reason. I don't know what his work schedule is, but he's gotten up to 27 on his list. This dude, too, is already way better than this. This is silly. 27. Andy Dalton. He writes, no doubt the best backup quarterback in football. There's no weakness to his game, even if the guy isn't the guy who will make a lot of wow plays. Or has a personality who will lift the team. We definitely heard his speeches. That's true. He can get you to the playoffs with the right support system around him. Number 27, Andy Dalton.
I would say, if you look at Andy Dalton's career, he gets a little bit of a bum rap. Because he's not. No?
He gets a fine rap. Fine rap. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
Fine.
He's right where he should be.
Okay. No, I'm just saying. He's listed on that list as a starter, but he's not a starter. So
he shouldn't be ahead of Ryan Fitzpatrick nor Tua Tagovailoa.
You don't think Andy Dalton's better than Ryan Fitzpatrick?
No.
And would the record and the stats say differently or no?
I know what my eyes told me, and I've never seen Andy Dalton lead a team in rushing. So, you know, there's that. You want to talk about a guy who...
Indictment on Andy Dalton. That's an indictment on the team that the quarterback led your team of rushing with 200 and something yards.
You really rather have Andy Dalton than Teddy Bridgewater?
Dude, hey, by the way.
Sure.
I can pretty much guarantee you, without just knowing what I know about football,
that is
the lowest number of yards to lead a NFL football team in the history of football.
No way.
How many yards did Ryan Fitzpatrick have?
Like 200 something.
Yes. The lowest amount of yards to lead an NFL football team for a season in the history of football. Go look it up. I almost
243 yards rushing for Ryan.
I am willing to go out on a limb and say that.
Nah.
But I'd be willing to put something on it. Dude, a 16-game season, a 14-game season, the leading rusher for the season has 240 yards.
I mean, he didn't even play the whole season. Don't forget he was benched for a couple games.
Go again. Again. Not a whole bunch of RPOs going with Ryan Fitzpatrick either.
Average 4.5 yards a carry. Not bad.
Again. You know what? I'm going to look it up. I should look it up.
Yeah, you do that.
Lowest. Oh, I missed my
head. Oh, jeez. Anyway, here's the rest of the AFC East when it comes to his power rankings. He's got the Bills 13th, Robbie. So he's got the Dolphins right now in second place in the AFC East. But behind them, Patriots at 21. And the New York Jets, 28.
Ooh.
Yup.
The Gase effect.
Gase effect. Dude, sucks. I'm glad people are getting hip to it. It's about time.
Yeah, the Bills, I feel like, are this hype team. Like, I feel like Tobin and Leroy out in Buffalo are seeing Josh Allen work out with Stephon Diggs. They're like, ooh. And, you know, the Bills, you know, Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm with you. They're fugazi to me. It's ripe for the picking, man. I'm telling you, this AFC East, ripe for the picking. Like a mango tree, Leroy. Like a mango tree. Just go out there. It looks very succulent. Go get the juices. They stream down your face. That's what this AFC East is looking like to me. Ripe for the picking. Patriots are bums. Bills are overrated. Jets suck.
I remember Mr. Deed said something similar on the plane. He was talking about all the overrated teams in the AFC East. Because he was a Patriots fan, but he ends up owning the Jets.
Right.
He said the Dolphins were overrated.
Very awkward for Mr. Deeds. We'll take a break. We're back with more after this. Welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy.
Got an answer for you. Kind of.
Oh. Okay.
Fewest yards gain or fewest yards gained rushing as a team in a season is 298 by the Philadelphia Eagles in 1940. Now let's go with fewest yards gained in a 14-game season, 978 by the New York Jets. Fewest yards gained rushing in a 16-game season, 1,062 by the San Diego Chargers in 2000. So
who was their leading rusher that year?
I don't know, but in all those years, I'm almost guaranteeing in 1940 it was less than Ryan Fitzpatrick. But in the other years, no chance. So you go with the old modern football deal, right? After the merger.
So what was the year for the San Diego Chargers?
2000.
2000. Okay. That's
yeah, I would say that you take about maybe 60% of that, and that's the leading rusher. So 500-600 yards.
I could go look right now. I'm sure. I think this will go back to 2000. Let's see. And all of a sudden, the page is frozen. Awesome.
Now Putin's now getting on your internet.
Only goes to 2011. Here, I'll look it up. 2000 San Diego, which means, well, I can't say what it means, but you guys know the line. All right, San Diego, 2000. This is riveting. I know everybody's been waiting for this. Rushing. The leading rusher on the San Diego Chargers that year in 2000, where they only had 1,062 yards rushing, was Jermaine Fazanade? Fazan?
Fazan.
Fazan. Yeah, he had 368 yards. Terrell right. Fletcher had 384 yards.
Right.
So they had multiple guys who were better than Ryan Fitzpatrick.
There you go. I'm telling you. Dude, you know how crazy that is? Not to mention it's your 40-year-old quarterback.
Yep.
He don't want to run.
Well, I think he did want to run. I think he was just out there cutting loose. You know, the thing that you got to like about Ryan Fitzpatrick is he just dials it up and he likes to go play ball. Ball player, you know?
All right.
Just goes out there. He's got some shiftiness to him. Very impressive for his age. Very impressive. So I got a couple theories here, Leroy. A couple theories with this new NBA season coming back. One, I think that it's a great benefit for the Miami Heat to have this kind of format when you're talking about Giannis, the quest for Giannis. Here's why. I think that with it being such a quick turnaround to the next season, the bad feelings, if we're able to get a bad exit by Giannis, the bad feelings of his teammates not being good enough are right there. There's not going to be a big reset mode where you're going to be able to lull over it and you're going to have your grieving process and then you'll have acceptance and then you'll have that desire to gear it back up and go. No, if Giannis has an ugly exit this year in the playoffs and then they have to turn it right around to gear up for this season, first of all, he's going to have to make the decision about his extension. So he's going to have to make that decision in like a week. And then he's going to have to decide if he doesn't want that extension, then there's going to be all these feelings of, oh, it's lingering over the franchise. So I feel like the waters are prime for whaling with this new format. Seeing how close the end of the season is to the free agency period to when the next season starts, to me, I think this puts you in a better position to go land yourself an orca. Should the ending be very poor for Giannis? If Giannis goes and wins the championship, obviously not. He'll stay and he'll take his $250 million or whatever it is, and that's that. But if the Heat are able to bounce them, if somebody's able to bounce them, and it doesn't seem like there's an escape route for the Bucks to get a lot better, with no real cooling off period. You know, you always want a cooling off period. Sometimes when I have my son and he's acting all crazy, I'm just like, hey, it's not a timeout. It's go cool off. Right? Go lay on your bed. You come out when you're ready. And you know what? Works. He appreciates it. You know, he goes, Daddy, I've calmed down now. But there's not going to be that cooling off period here, Leroy. He's going to have to go right into the biggest decision of his professional life right after a bad exit from the playoffs. I think it sets up for the Heat really well.
Oh.
Here's another thing for you.
No.
What?
No. Hold on. Let's attack. We're gonna attack this point by point.
Oh, I thought you just.
We're not gonna just let you
I just want to make sure.
No. Here's why.
Because you throw
a whole bag of bolts at me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I try to attack each individual bolt. One gets through, and then you say, "See, you agree with me." So no, we're gonna stop this nonsense right now. First of all, do you understand how competition works?
Well, yeah.
Here's what you can't do. You want to pick and choose whether. So let me ask you this. Why wouldn't Bam do that if they have an ugly exit from the playoffs?
He can't leave.
Okay.
He's under contract.
But, all right, let me go this way. Competitors don't think, oh, I'm not winning, I got to go somewhere else. Doesn't work like that. First and foremost, they're thinking, hey, what do we need to do to be in a better position next year? That's the first thought. You're getting so caught up on what happened here, which is an anomaly in these situations.
And Golden State.
Huh?
And Golden State.
Golden State didn't do that. Golden State just got Kevin Durant to come there. That's it.
That's kind of
already had. They already had a championship team.
Understood. But he hit his head up against the wall and he decided, I'm going to go to a place where I can win.
Okay, but that was after like how many years?
Yeah.
All right, man.
The years are racking up on Giannis.
Huh?
They rack up on Giannis.
They just started getting really good. You know, it's not like they've been going to the conference finals for the last 5 years and can't get over the hump.
You need to know immediately whether or not. You're not going to sit there thinking, oh, is this the year that Eric Bledsoe turns the corner? No. Like, this is your team. Bledsoe, Middleton, and them boys. The Lopez brothers.
Okay, but so you think the Heat would be better with that? First of all, let's be clear. It would end up being a trade, and you would have to give up somebody.
No, you could just have him play out his contract, and then I mean, if it comes to a place where you're like,
usually
business,
Tobin. Usually these deals work on a sign and trade.
No, but that's not the case here. He's gonna be going into the last year of his contract if he doesn't sign the extension, which is why I think it's an advantage that you have the hurt. The hurt has to stay there, you know. He doesn't get to go on some quest with a shaman and all of a sudden, he comes back revitalized. He has to take that pain and then go right into the next season. So he's hurt, dog.
Do you realize all these deals have worked on the sign and trade?
No.
Even when LeBron came down here
didn't need
with
to.
The that big was, three, it was a sign and trade.
The only reason it was a sign and trade, it wasn't for a cap reason. The only reason they did that was to make their deals longer. It wasn't the Heat had the cap space either. The Heat had the cap space either way.
Okay.
So it's a
you don't think the Bucks are going to try to get something if it doesn't work out?
I'm just explaining to you, it's a fugazi technicality you're bringing on. Like the sign and trade that the Heat did with Jimmy Butler is not the same that they did with LeBron. They did the deal with LeBron and Bosch so they could extend their deals and give them the options for 6 years. With Jimmy Butler, the reason they did that is because they didn't have the cap space. There's a difference. Right. There's all a difference. Right. And with Giannis, the
you
idea
got
is,
it all figured out. You got it all. Listen,
I'm just saying. I don't have it all figured out.
I would like to know, okay, I would like to make a suggestion. My friend, I care about you.
Yeah.
I want what's best for you.
Thanks, man.
Instead of reading the tea leaves, you're smoking them.
That's
so
not true.
Stop smoking the tea leaves.
It's not. You think it's a crazy statement to say that this cracks, right? First of all, the Bucks won't have home court advantage, okay? So it's prime for them to get upset. Second of all,
I'm telling you, an athlete doesn't think like that.
Okay, but they've all literally in the NBA thought like that for the last 6 years.
No, but they haven't had the – look, with KD, okay, he'd been with that same core for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a situation where, like, Giannis been good and elite for 2 years. So you're saying after 2 years – or this would be 3 years. Oh, this ain't going to work. I'm out.
Life speeds up. Things go faster. Kids grow up faster these days.
It goes faster to fit what you want.
No, it's just the facts.
Really? I mean, to me, for him to make a change like this seems kind of early with where they are on that team at this moment.
I mean, it's not as early as you think it is. Like, you know, he's already what, in his seventh year? And
right, he's in his seventh year, but they've only been really good for the last 2 years.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, like Kevin Durant was what, there 9 years? It's not that big
yeah,
a difference.
Yeah, but they had already gone to – they were in the playoffs.
Yeah, which you would say there was more
they
argument
were really
for Kevin
good.
Durant to stay.
For a long time, it's more of an argument for Kevin Durant to leave because they weren't going anywhere. They couldn't get over the hump. And it was his fault because they were up 3-1.
Exactly. You're making sense. You're spewing it right for me.
No.
You agree with me.
I just don't. I think that, you know, you look at it and say, oh, as soon as an athlete doesn't have success, he can just go to another team.
That's just what they do now, though.
Okay, but that's not – what I'm saying is that's not just going. It usually plays out for a minute. And Giannis hasn't been that good, what you would consider the leader in the East.
It would be the exact amount of years that LeBron had in Cleveland at first before he left for Miami.
Oh, but they weren't going to ever win.
They went to a finals.
Oops. Really?
They went to a finals. They had a massive choke the year before. That year when they lost to the Celtics, everybody thought they were going to win.
Okay. All right.
I'm just saying, just sets up. Look, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying if I'm looking at it, I'm looking at this as a prime.
No, you're looking at it. You're looking at it through Tobin's eyes. I want you to look at it through reality's eyes.
Reality is all the NBA stars leave now. That's reality.
I agree. I agree with that, but not in this position that Giannis is in.
It's literally the same position LeBron was in.
No,
it's literally the same position.
LeBron, what their team? There's no team that LeBron ever played on in Cleveland that was even close to as good as the team that Milwaukee
has. He had a team in Cleveland that won more games than this Milwaukee team.
But then,
and he won two MVPs, and it's 7 years. It's exactly the same.
All right. Like, man, I'm going to tell you. Do you feel more confident in this Bucks team having a chance to win a championship or that LeBron Heat team with all those Cavs team with all those stiffs?
Depends who they're playing.
You just can't. If it may put a little bump into your thoughts, you just won't agree.
Depends who they're playing.
Depends on your play.
Depends who they're playing. Right. I've already boxed you in telling you that.
No, you haven't boxed me in
so hard.
Let's keep it real.
Oh, Kevin Durant was there. It's the same amount of years.
It's not. The team was different, though.
You want a wilder scenario? It was a wilder scenario for LeBron to come to Miami than it was Giannis to come to Miami.
Well, only because LeBron was bigger. That's the only reason why.
Yeah.
And he did a big old special. And nobody ever thought it was possible. That started this. Okay? Then everybody's like, but with Kevin Durant, he played with his cast of characters for a while. Right? With LeBron, played with that cast of characters for a while. All I'm saying is Giannis, even though the years are the same, they just got to the point where they're consistently competing for the Eastern Conference last couple of years. So he would be more inclined to let this play out and see if they can get over the hump.
That's you know what you call that? Definition of insanity. You're going to do the same thing over and over and expect a different
result. So how long? Let me ask you a question. How long should you actually try to work it out?
7 years is a good time.
No. Dude, they've only been good for 2 years.
Okay. 3 years is a good run. If you can't do anything different in 3 years,
hey, wait. More importantly, what year is this?
Well, this is year two of good. If you're considering how long do you consider?
And when does this contract end?
After a year.
You manipulate this. I can't do this.
You're the one who set it up for me. You're asking the question. I'm just answering. You're the one who's setting it up. Anyway, right. I'm just saying. I think this is setting up prime to get Giannis.
You know what it's setting up for? A payday.
Maybe. With the Heat.
It's the way the league is set up right now. If the way the salary cap is going to play out, all the uncertainty around the NBA right now, if somebody comes and offers you a max, get your money.
Dude, he's going to make
sure. Get your money.
Giannis has his money.
He's got
his signature shoe. He's got his Air Hermes. No. Like, he's going to have so much money. He's not going to do what to do with. Go win.
Get your money.
All right, he can go get his money. But here's the problem. He runs the risk of, if he stays in Milwaukee, then Bam's going to pass him by. They're going to get some kind of teammate. And then what did you do? You have the biggest regret of your life. Because you couldn't beat them, and now you're going to join.
You know why? You know why it's not the biggest regret of your life? Because he going to sign that big extension, and then the salary cap going to drop, and he's like, whoo, glad I got my money.
You know who else has a lot of money? Joe Johnson. Joe Johnson has a lot of money. How's he feeling?
He feels great playing in the Big Three.
Playing
great.
For Ice Cube.
Huh?
Playing for Ice
That's
Cube.
That's all right.
Is it?
Let me tell you something. Right now, if Intercom came to you and ESPN came to you, and Intercom said, we really want to keep you. Here's how much we're going to pay you. Mm-hmm. And ESPN say, we really want you, but we can't pay you that much. Who you going with?
How much is the difference?
A substantial amount.
Now, in this case, do I already have a gazillion dollars like Giannis Antetokounmpo?
He doesn't have a gazillion dollars.
He has a gazillion dollars.
No, he doesn't. You don't know what that man's finances are.
I think they're fine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's how you going to judge it?
Yeah.
So you're going to tell another person you got plenty of money, you can hold off?
Let me get this straight. All right. Let me ship you some.
Your Amazon job Prime. Is to play hold basketball.
On, hold on. Let me ship you some Amazon Prime. You know who else's job it was to play basketball and always took the money but never was about the winning? Your boy Carmelo Anthony. Always took the dough. Always took the dough and ended up where? On the outside looking in. And you kill him for it. But Giannis does it and it's okay?
No. I've said to Carmelo, he has never made another player better. That has nothing to do with the amount of money he's made. That has to do with his playing style.
Also has to do with the fact that you think he doesn't care about winning. Cares about money.
That's fine. That's his job. That's his job.
You say
I flip-flop. Carmelo, no. I don't flip-flop.
You flip-flop. You flip-flop the facts.
Okay, would you like to put a wager on this?
No.
Okay, why?
Why would I wager something with not knowing a bunch of factors on it?
Because you seem so sure.
What if Bam Adebayo goes and blows his Achilles? Why would you go for a team like that?
You seem so sure.
No. I'm saying it's not a question of sure. I'm reading the tea leaves, and I'm looking at the situation. I'm out here. Well, you know,
you're not reading them. You're smoking them.
No, dude. You've never gone out on a voyage, okay? And so I'm looking right now before the voyage starts.
We still do voyages?
We do voyages. And I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, you know something? These seas could be setting up right to get a big catch. You don't know. Nobody knows. You think Magellan knew? He was going to prove that the earth was round. He could have just fallen right off that earth, Kyrie Irving style.
Robbie, help me, please. Nothing, Robbie?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.